With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers 261, the box office report for the week ending March 5th, 2017.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Before we get sidetracked, let's go around the table quickly.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Whew. We did it.
By the skin of our teeth.
We didn't do a full episode before we...
No, that's how we we get sidetracked. That's how we get sidetracked.
Well, there hasn't been any like big news to get us side. It doesn't matter though.
Shameless plugs.
There it is.
You're really trying to stick to an agenda.
Very streamlined. Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Joe, what would you say?
I'm going to say we have one.
We do not.
God damn it.
Hey, the record continues.
Yeah. You are.
I know. I'm 0 for oh.
All.
But
all.
You're perfect.
That's true. I'm
it's
perfect.
It's a perfect record.
That's
it's
what my mom says.
Perfectly wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure your mother
also
says that.
My mom
says your mother
well.
Says that as
yeah.
well. So,
where did I go wrong?
Oh, so many places.
So many
Speaking
ways.
Speaking of tangents. Where did Joe go wrong?
Where did Joe's parents go wrong?
Oh.
I just carried it after that. Like, I just kept going.
So, where was I at? Shameless plugs. Oh, we have a Facebook page. Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. So you can go there and join the League of Show Sharers. People that were kind enough to join the League of Show Sharers this week, sharing last week's Get Out episode. Julianne Jordan, Lane LeVanway, Librarian Cynthia, Jason Herndon, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Linnea Thunsell, Tammy Sherman Powers, Travis Tewitt, Jason Weesey, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris Sanders, and Brent Smith. And we didn't have a review, but listener Nicole.
Oh, yeah.
Nicole.
Did refer to me as brilliant.
She did. Which was
and then she
special.
Said a bunch of stuff after that, but I pretty much stopped at Tom is brilliant.
She did
and then
leave.
I was
she
done.
Left an amazing,
yeah.
Like, I haven't heard
detailed.
From, this is like the original listener, Nicole.
Yeah,
from when we started.
I think so. She's. I mean, so. She came
been around for a long time.
She came around the same time as Librarian Cynthia.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard from her in a long time.
Yeah, no, she left an amazing comment, just breaking down the movie as well.
Yeah,
Nice.
We appreciate that. That was great.
Very cool.
So yeah, we love to see those comments.
Yeah, had some great insight.
So thank you, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's it for Shameless Plugs. So how about that? Are we ready to turn our eyes to the box office?
Well, surely we have three or four more tangents.
2.5 minutes in, we got...
Does somebody need a tangent?
Oh.
A tangent, you say?
Does Dan have a tangent at the ready?
Tease. You don't tease tangents around here. That's very serious.
Yeah, but you also don't say tangent coming.
You heartless
throws
bastard.
Off the whole idea of tangent. It's like saying, okay, we're going to make a viral video.
Yeah.
And you're like, no. No,
that's
you're not.
That's not how that works.
That's not how it happens.
Speaking of that, I saw a viral video the other day.
I did watch the... I finally watched the Lights Out.
That was the quickest tangent to tangent record ever.
Yeah.
That's
I did. I watched
didn't even
the,
get a chance to
that
get
2 minute thing that Lights Out was based on.
Yeah.
Like, I'd never seen it before. I'd never seen the real one. I saw, like, the one that... Whoever spoofed it, where they punched the ghost or whatever, and they hit him with a bat.
Yeah.
Which was, like, longer than the original.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it's a good little...
Yeah,
little show.
That person made a little 2 minute
so
short,
they,
and then made like probably $1 million.
More
to,
than that,
you know.
Because he directed the movie.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that. Like, wow, what can come from making a video and posting
That's,
it? To
apparently, he
YouTube.
Would he posted like he just did a bunch of shorts because he'd never get He's just like, whatever, I'm never going to get anything anyways. I'm just going to make these movies.
So he didn't have any stamina.
Yeah, that's right. 2 minutes. Game yeah. over. Yeah.
We've all been there.
Oh, it's happened to all of us. And anybody that says that it hasn't is lying.
Yeah, but his refractory period is off the chain.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
it's
now
it's going to be 2 minutes. You need to have quick refractory.
You gotta pop right back up. But he's now he's direct. So he directed the theatrical Lights Out, and now he's directing Annabelle 2.
They're making a second one of those?
Yeah.
The first one was so bad.
Yes, of course. See, Raul Julia disagrees.
Why does this do that?
Oh, no. Annabelle 2 is going to be great.
And it's always in a perfect moment. And I know that we talk about a lot of things that could be borderline offensive or negative, but seriously, Raul Julia is 100%.
Yeah, he's...
I'm still working on a role. I can't, like...
He's a tough one.
Well, I watch different movies, and he uses a different accent, so I'm like, God dang it.
Yeah. I think just go up the Street Fighter one. I feel like that's the one where he's just like, I don't care.
Last movie.
I'm just doing whatever. But yeah, he's doing Annabelle 2, and I think they're doing The Nun from The Conjuring. The Conjuring 2.
So they just spin off...
just The Nun.
Yeah. Like, they're giving that...
That was scary.
Her own movie.
Seriously, though, when they're like,
Conjuring
we'll
5
give you,
pack.
We'll give you $5 million. Like, can you make us 40, 50?
That's like
That's like making a sequel to The Ring, and it's just using the well.
Yeah. There's no girl.
Ooh,
just the well.
Wells are scary.
Did they make, like, 6 of those in Japan?
I know
they did it to the point where they had The Ring and The Grudge together.
Yeah, they pulled a Freddy versus Jason. Yeah. Like, we got nothing else to do. Put them together.
Yeah. Wow. Which I haven't seen. I don't know.
Have you ever seen Freddy versus Jason?
No. Oh. I haven't seen The Ring versus The Grudge Japanese version.
I'm sure it's awful.
I still don't think Ringu is as scary as... I know our listener Matt Reedy will disagree.
I think the American version is creepier than...
I agree. Yeah. But I also think that's a testament to cultural differences. Because there's some stuff in that... I'm like, when I watch the movie in Ringu, I'm like, okay, maybe for Japanese audiences, this is very...
creepy,
stressful, I'm shaking my head like I don't know.
Well, you had your home videos of your ex-wife.
Well, you know that is like I was more concerned about the whole rewinding thing, but yeah.
Because
if you rewind the tape in The Ring, does it count?
Does it reverse the curse?
Mm. Yeah. So we never talked about.
Yeah.
I think it's because VCRs had that automatic rewind. See if that tape. That's why that tape didn't take off at the beginning,
right?
Because VCRs didn't automatically rewind
when
it got to the end.
That's true.
But then the fancy ones,
they did.
They
just let that thing run.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Then you didn't get charged at Blockbuster,
and you were deemed kind.
That's also true. Mm. That's a good point.
Yes. But were you really kind just because you did that? Like, is that really the barometer we want to set?
I mean, you get that movie at home and you're just like, God. Somebody didn't rewind the movie.
Oh, I can't wait. I got my popcorn. It's hot and fresh.
Let me
pop this in. You look at the clear window and you're like, no.
And you get the end of the movie. You're like, damn it.
Yeah, and it's not even the credits. They stopped it right at the spoiler at the end of the movie. Like, what?
Kevin Costner's a Russian.
Oh, I mean, if you don't check that beforehand, shame on you.
That's true. That is true.
But also, most of them had a little window.
You could see it.
Right, yeah.
We probably have to explain that.
Yeah,
for
I was
our
like, kids, there used to be it was tape.
I would
like,
be ticked off, and it was probably my fault as a kid, but still, when I went to go watch a movie and that tape was to the right, I'm like, oh, I got to wait 5 minutes now.
And God forbid if that VCR wasn't a piece of crap, it didn't eat the tape.
Talk about first world problems. Wow.
Well, not now.
I know, but
I had a fancy top-loading VCR.
I think I may have.
I was one of the first kids on the block with a VCR.
I was one of the last kids.
Due to
also top loader.
One of the advantages of your parents getting divorced, they felt guilty, and I wanted a video camera and a VCR. And so the deal was they would pay for the video camera and I would pay for the VCR because they were the same price, essentially, you know. And so it was like $2,000. I mean, it was...
That's not cheap.
You're talking 80
when you think about the price of these things.
Yeah, you know. And,
what would be comparable to that now?
Oh, man.
Maybe like... I guess it would just be a TV.
I mean, but even TVs don't cost that.
Yeah, I don't think that's so strange that technology has got
the only, if a kid wanted to go to school or for work, get like an Apple computer.
Yeah,
you know, like the big
laptop.
Ones, the big professional ones are like $3,000 or $4,000 for the towers.
Yeah.
You know? So like that's a really expensive
Who
piece of technology.
Who uses a tower still?
Well, for those Mac Pros, I mean, they're not even big anymore, but for video editing and
really?
They have big graphics cards in them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
and I
for
do
work
really,
and yeah. I have a $700 video card that doesn't fit in a laptop. Like you have to have a tower. So if you do video editing,
yeah,
all right, well, good to know. So.
But yeah,
the average person uses a tablet or a phone for internet. You don't have
yeah.
But yeah, my VCR was a two piece. had a bikini.
Oh, it was a bikini VCR.
It was the detachable thing. For
right.
That.
So you could. So you had the one piece that hooked up to the TV, and then you had the second piece where the tape went in, and that hooked up to the, your kind of anchor piece, right?
Okay.
And then you could unhook.
It's like Legos.
You could unhook that piece, and one, that's what the camera hooked into. So you had the video camera, and then you had it had a shoulder strap, and you slung the other half of the VCR and took it with you and filmed with the
what
camera.
What God's name did you film? Never mind.
School,
never mind.
School plays and stuff like that.
Okay.
You know? And,
and stuff.
You got, you're giving me way more
school,
credit.
School plays at Caligula.
I didn't have that kind of game.
It makes me laugh because I did the same thing. And I'm just like, oh, Tom and I had such sad, lonely
we did. We did.
But and Dan's was in black and white.
Years. Yeah. Dan's was, well, Tom's was a talkie. But, Dan's not so much.
But the other the other brilliant
well,
thing about
I was on a wall and I was like,
but the other brilliant thing about the setup, though, is that you could unhook it and take it with you to a friend's house, and it was a VCP or video cassette player.
Yeah. So no recording, but it would play.
It wouldn't record, but you could take it over to a friend's house and play video. So, like, especially early on when you're an early
videos
adapter.
Of said high school plays.
Yeah, like, people, a lot of people didn't have VCR, so if you could bring your VCR to their house, like, that was a godsend.
So you were, like, the man.
I was very popular because of my VCR.
Because of my VCR.
Amazing to think that was the level.
For your VCP.
For my, yeah.
Now, what's funny about that is you hook that part, the is portable up to the camera, right? To record the video.
Uh-huh.
It's funny that it records off the camera, but it won't be a recorder, even though it's.
Well, because the recording part is in the anchor piece that hooks up to the TV, and then the video camera is the recorder.
Yeah, oh, okay.
The tape goes in the camera.
Oh, it goes in the. Oh, it flowed up into the camera
was
and
one
back out?
That went into the camera?
No.
They had those. Oh, those things were monsters. Oh,
no.
Like a reel-to-reel? That you would carry along with you?
They were huge. No, the tape.
You look like the proton pack from Ghostbusters on your back?
The tape stayed in the VCP, and then the camera hooked into that, and then you had a shoulder strap for the VCP, and then the camera was like, had the arm that came down and rested on your shoulder.
Oh, I gotcha.
But like, my camera, I mean, was pretty badass.
You still have it?
No.
Oh, all right.
But it was, it had a little door on the side that popped down, and it had a little keyboard so you could type right onto the screen, and you could and it had like Macrovision, so you could zoom in really on, like, you could put a dollar bill like right in front of it and like just zoom in right on the dollar, you know, like you could get real.
Oh, I got you.
You could shoot miniatures with it if you wanted to, and it had like some, you know, very crude effects, like I could do like a negative image.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha.
You know,
Wow, that is a legit for back then. I mean,
VHS that I bought like in like 83.
I had no idea.
I bet you the guys at Video Concepts were thrilled when you guys came in.
Yes, they were very excited. But
you want one of those in the back? The thing we keep locked up? Like,
it's got dirt. Like,
that's
dust
we just
on
put
it.
That to draw people into the store, and it was ever actually one. But yeah, I used that VCR and camera all through high school. Like, I felt, you know, so I mean, I bought it when I was in like 7th or 8th grade and used it even into college. I mean, we were still using the VCR. I mean, it was, I mean, that thing
was
a beast.
True, yeah, a VCR. I mean, those VCR were, unless you got, it got to the point where like they were eating tapes, and that was the only time you'd pitch a VCR, is if you couldn't even get through a tape.
Yeah.
Well, remember, you didn't buy your head cleaner kit.
Yeah. Even I think the VCR that I had till the end of, like, the end of its life, even if with the head cleaner,
it
was still chewing up Superman 1978.
Remember DVDs?
Did you buy five of those too?
I did. At this point, I feel like I probably have bought more than five
in
different formats.
Mm-hmm. But DVDs, you got to remember, came out around 1999 were popular.
Yeah.
The 20-year anniversary for DVDs just happened.
Wow.
It's 20 years this month.
But actually, I feel like consumer-wise, like,
I remember the Switch.
99 is like when they became in all the stores and popular. I'm sure they came
out
in 97.
Rent them. Like, I remember in 97, I rented the Schnucks was the first place that had a DVD player for rental, and I rented the DVD. I'm like, let's check out, see how good the quality is, because we had a good TV, and I rented that and The Mask and something else.
Nice. Yeah.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Not Mask. The Mask.
The Mask.
The Mask.
You could pause it, and there weren't little lines in there.
It was crazy.
It's
blow your mind.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. Which I was like,
Kids don't understand, like, having to put
that
a
DVD sucks.
Putting a VCR on top of another VCR so you can dub the tape.
Oh, yeah.
Tracking.
Oh, yeah. Having to cover up the tab.
Not even auto-tracking, like, but tracking.
Yeah, I remember, man, I had a bunch of wrestling tapes where they were, like, recorded from tapes, you know, like tape traders.
Yeah.
So you get stuff from Japan that's been recorded 5 or 6 times. So you're sitting there with the tracking wheel, and you're just like, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, damn it, too far. All right, the other way. Come on, come on. Oh, God. Ah, forget it.
That's how you do a tangent.
That is how you do that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Tangent record.
Yeah.
Tangent.
Ta-da. That's
fantastic.
And on that note, we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
So if this is your first episode that you've ever listened to...
Speaking of abacuses. Abacai.
This is
Abacab?
Not,
Abacab.
Abacab.
This is not an exception to the rule. Like, this is what we do, so you're welcome and enjoy. So this weekend, we had a couple of new movies come out at the box office, some bigger than others, but the number one is the movie of the day, Logan.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
So I don't think that's any surprise, and I'm sure they're happy to hear that. I mean, after the rated R success of Deadpool, they greenlit this ultra-violent movie.
It's such a different, like, we'll get into it, but it is such a different movie from Deadpool.
Right, but
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
But get this, $82 million on a rated R violent comic book movie.
What did Deadpool do its first? Oh, was it 40?
No, I think it did better than that.
Did it? Okay.
Well, it's interesting. Like, Deadpool, I mean, they were thinking of ways to make it even more rated R.
Right.
Yeah, this could have been
any other way.
Yeah. Deadpool did $132 million opening.
Well, all right.
But that also has a
it was
wider...
almost 40.
Yeah. Almost 40.
Almost 40.
But it was also...
They got past
40. I mean, people were like, it's funny,
that's a comedy.
Raunchy.
That's a. Yeah. It does have a wider audience because it's not just your action movie, gritty violence. It's the comedy aspect.
I wouldn't even call this an action movie.
Yeah. Wow. Deadpool is a fluke, though, because, I mean, as a character...
Yeah. Well, as a character that they...
People have no idea who that is.
As a character they screwed up...
Right.
However many years before...
Yes.
You know, that's a testament to Ryan Reynolds. Like, Ryan Reynolds is like, look, I know this character. We can do this character right.
He was half good in that movie
when
he talked.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh,
shut up.
Everybody saw a glimmers of that. And then it was
like, oh, this is it. Like, that's, he gets the character.
And then they, whatever, the whole ending.
That wasn't even him in that suit.
I don't know.
I don't think it was.
So wackadoo at the end. I was like,
doesn't exist anymore.
But the deal with that is that the layman isn't going to know that that's Deadpool or like when they saw that movie, it didn't necessarily.
Did they not call him Deadpool?
I guess they just called him Weapon X or something.
Call him Weapon X because Wolverine is Weapon X.
They called him.
Do you know who Weapon One is?
No, who?
Captain America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you should have done that with a...
Let me push up my glasses.
Really? He's Weapon One? He's a part of the same...
Captain America is Weapon One.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know who Weapon 11 is?
Who?
Deadpool.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. That's what I was going for.
Can you do all of them?
Because Maverick's in there.
Who's Weapon 69?
They haven't gotten that far yet.
Oh.
Well, Tom knows.
They only got to 23, apparently.
Tom, the name is not copyrighted yet or trademarked, so you're good to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. Off to the races.
Just wanted to know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a great opening, and, you know, they took a gamble on it. I mean, there's a huge fan following, but also it's extremely rated R.
Yes.
And,
Shame it took them this long.
Right,
you know
for
what
the
I mean?
Last one.
One that we get a rated R Western.
Well, we've been... pushing the boundaries of the rating with him since the second one, since X2,
which is the one where he gives the middle finger with the claw.
That's the first one.
So the first one.
But I mean, as far as like his use of the claws, that second movie when Stryker's team comes into the mansion, we see a lot of. You don't see it. You don't. They don't show any.
There's no
gore,
blood
and there's no limbs, but there's certainly.
He's tearing through those guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like they've been getting more and more.
Wait till we get to this one.
So
yeah. Oh yeah.
We'll
it's rated R for a reason.
Yeah. It's like they haven't ever had the character really be soft. Except for the first movie.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of...
Well, the only thing soft about it is his body in the first movie.
I did think it was funny in this one where, he, you know... And
I mean, it's just funny
these...
in two. He is, like, super ripped in the first one. Yeah. He's in good shape, but it's like when you see his... You know, his
he's
body
built,
from the
he's
first
built
to
like
second.
A normal human being.
No, yeah, he looks like,
and then he goes full superhero.
But like the whole point like of Wolverine, baby. Though, is that he's not supposed to be, because he doesn't need to be.
Right,
right.
You know,
he's
and he
bulky.
Can yes. he can drink and smoke because it's not going to hurt yeah. him.
Right,
yeah. And he's, I mean, in the comic books, he was short and kind of
he's
dumpy.
Like 5'4". Yeah. He's like 5'. He's built like Danny DeVito.
There was a time when I was going to yeah. say that there was a time when they were thinking about casting Danny DeVito as Wolverine.
Yeah, like that was his body, and now yeah. his body type in the books
matches the movie.
Matches. I mean, he's not as tall,
right?
But he's
right.
definitely like taller.
He's
yeah. 5'4".
He's a huge jacked man.
He's not like he's close.
Okay,
but right. like the, when you see him in like a lineup
the
of
average
the X-Men,
jacked man,
the average jacked. But like yeah. you know, he's shorter than Storm, and he's like. He might look Cyclops eye to eye. And
yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
I
mean, that, like,
they've changed that.
That's what yeah. they do. I mean, the synergy
oh, yeah.
between these things. That's how they keep selling comic books, you know?
The Elektra, they just reintroduced Elektra, and she looks like the TV show. Huh. Like, her costume is the TV show costume.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't have a budget on that one yet. I don't know if anyone else had scraped one off another site or whatnot, but they can't be upset with an $82 million opening. That's huge.
At the low end, I'd say 75. At the high end, I'd say 125.
That's true. There aren't tons of effects in the movie.
No, it's a very no. basic. I mean, Joe likened it to a Western. I mean,
yeah.
it's more the story, and they're driving around. They're, you know, I would say, yeah, I would. They probably kept it under 100.
I would say they kept it under 100.
Yeah.
Wikipedia says under 100, $97 million.
I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you got actors in it. I mean, it is his 14th time in the role or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to pay the guy. So,
yeah, yeah, I think, I mean, their biggest... expenses are either A, you know, claw animation.
Yeah.
You know, adding yeah. all that.
Oh, thank
post.
God.
No
they
shaky,
did claw
no,
animation
no
in this
claws.
Movie.
Yeah. And also locations. Honestly, there's yeah. some really.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
A lot of old... on location, practical, you know, which is expensive. But,
right.
Yeah. yeah.
So coming in at number two, Get Out, the movie from last weekend, only a 22% drop.
That's
so
fantastic
for
that. We called
them.
That.
We did call that.
$26 million.
It wasn't going to be the superhero movie, but it was
no,
going to beat everything
but
else.
Yeah. Nothing but good word of mouth. I mean, you guys mentioned it had 100%. It does have a 99%
yeah,
on Rotten Tomatoes
prick
now.
That guy
that
is.
That guy always does that.
Yeah,
Armand
but I mean, like,
White.
That's just like,
yeah.
that's just screwing with the film. I mean,
one,
obviously, 99% to 100%
is his last name is White.
Yeah.
yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah. It's a
very
black movie.
Contrarian.
His name's White, but he's black. So it's
yeah,
like, it's not.
And he writes for the National Review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
Contrarian. That's a very old school conservative publication.
Oh, okay.
Like, but, I think it was William F. Buckley founded it, right?
yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get. So people on Twitter were giving him a bunch of crap, and rightfully so. They're like, you know, this
he
movie
loves
had,
it. What's the
oh,
point?
Yeah, he gets.
But here's the deal. So they were giving him crap on Twitter, and he goes back and he's like, "It's called being a critic." And it's like, okay, I get your point. Like, if you were actually telling the truth, and you're like, "Yeah, I didn't like this movie because of this," but when you do it to Toy Story 3, and you do
right.
it to every other movie that has 100%, you're not just.
I don't like Wall-E.
You're not just coincidentally criticizing
out.
It negatively.
I did like that movie.
Get Out.
There's no way you're the one person criticizing it negatively for
right.
every single time a movie
right.
gets 100%. So
yeah.
like, BS, dude. You are.
Yeah.
He is the definition of a troll.
Oh no. Well,
he has
yeah.
a public platform.
He sees an opportunity to yeah. get his name out, like we're doing right now. Unfortunately,
I was gonna say, and it's working.
Yeah.
I know, but who
and
wants
it,
to be that guy? That
and it's like it's
hates?
Not. That's not gonna hurt the movie, right? So like, the
no.
difference between 99% and 100%. Isn't going to make or break that
yeah.
movie.
Of course not, but
you
it's
know?
Just sad because
it
like it's Jordan Peele's directorial debut.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, I'm not that sad really crying for him. I mean, he's going to do great. He's going to direct whoever he wants now.
Well, he also just said he's going to see he has a whole line, quote
right.
unquote line of social horror movies that he wants to make.
That's not well, if they're like this, that's, bring it on.
Yeah,
man.
Let's
yeah.
do it.
But it's just the thing that like he had the coveted 100, which is very rare. And, you know, Rotten Tomatoes has been around for a long time. And, like, that is a rare thing.
You,
and,
should,
and
be
this,
able to, you should be able to, like, take it, like, you take away your highest one and you take away your lowest one.
yeah.
And then you're good to go.
Like,
it's like,
I think there should be a filter for this guy. He's
or, like, Rockable. It's like 9-pin, no tap.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, it's just like Amazon reviews. You're like, whoa, why is that so low? And then you read the review, you're like, oh, well, this person sounds like a crazy person.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love those Amazon reviews, though. That's good. Yeah, great.
The best ones are the fake ones that are just funny. Yeah. And so Get Out, with the 22% drop, brings the total to $75 million domestic on a $4.5 million budget.
That's a big old win.
$4.5 million. Yeah. So, and I think, I don't know if you guys mentioned it, but Jordan Peele's got a blank check to direct whatever he wants next, which is awesome. I mean, he's proven himself with this first one. I'm excited to see what he does next.
I think he's going to do a reboot of The English Patient.
Yeah.
So we got to start
seeing. Interesting move.
Show range.
So Blumhouse is, so now we've got, you know, like new directors and old movie jail director.
They're like an upscale Corman.
Yeah, they really are.
Absolutely. I don't know
are.
Just, but that's
their name is synonymous
are.
With horror Corman. Right
who,
now.
Who
so.
Still says that he's never lost money.
I believe it. That dude, he was like, "How much do you want? I'll give you 20
the
grand."
The man would produce. He would spend more money producing movie posters, and they'd hang them up in the marquee and gauge audience reaction, and then make
the movie.
We
got
to make that one. Yeah. They really want to watch Crab Lady from Mars.
God love that Fantastic Four. That's a movie.
But wow. I mean, so you know, Blumhouse. I really hope we see somebody like a De Palma.
Yeah, I know I love like older Brian De Palma. I'm a big fan of all that older stuff, but some of that newer stuff is.
I think it goes with the script. But the one that because I had really hoped for Black Dahlia, and that was bad. Whoa.
I think I would have liked that better had it been about the actual murder. Like, yeah, I don't give a crap about Aaron Eckhart and Josh Hartnett.
That was the problem with that movie is that you're like
I don't care
they
about
called it Black
characters.
Dahlia, not.
It's not about Black Dahlia.
Whiny bitch boys in L.A. I was like,
that's a crazy.
Everybody walked right by that poster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, whiny bitch boys in L.A.
It's
I
a great
see
story.
That.
Like, it's a great story that's unsolved. It's fantastic. And then that movie happened, and it was.
I think on Skid Row, whiny bitch boys in L.A. did well, but that was the only place. Yeah. So.
That's the name.
No,
of
but
my
he's one. I think that you know could probably honestly. I think. Why am I drawing a blank? Coppola might be one.
Yeah. Interesting.
Francis. Francis. I mean, he's got some dogs in recent years. And he's one that's like, man, that would be so interesting to see what would happen.
That's what they got the weird guy from Your Highness to do Halloween. Like, I don't. They saw something that we
the
don't.
The weird guy from Your Highness?
The director of Your Highness. Is directing Halloween.
That's right. And Danny McBride is writing it. Yeah.
And it's like, I have no idea.
Okay. Well,
but yeah, it's very William weird. Shatner to play Michael Myers.
They did.
It's very,
it's very meta. Very, super meta.
It's very meta.
They're going to try to take a mold. They're going to take a mold of his face. It's going to be.
You know, with all the success that Blumhouse has, why isn't somebody doing that with comedies?
It's a great point.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
It just seems like. You know, you could make you
mean like rated R comedies or just comedies in
just
general?
Just comedies in general, like what they're doing with the horror genre. If someone would come in and just find up and coming comedians or comedians down to their luck, or you know what I mean?
I think
it's a great idea.
I think National Lampoon thought they were.
Yeah,
I think they could have.
They
been
were at
they
one
stayed
time.
The yeah. has stayed the course.
American Pie 9.
Well, that
more
was
apples,
that was
please.
That was a National Lampoon. Like, National Lampoon was like Van Wilder's freshman year.
Yeah.
Well, National Lampoon was Animal House.
Well, right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Like, the brilliant
the real
stuff.
Ones.
But
like,
all
then,
their stuff now, all the National Lampoon stuff spins off into, the 12th sequel of a movie. It's
like,
just like
not Vegas Vacation, but Uncle Eddie's Vacation or something.
Watch
like,
that documentary on Netflix if you haven't seen it.
Which one?
About
I did. It's great.
Brilliant.
So
Stone,
good.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be making a movie. About that time frame.
Yeah.
And it's
Doug Kinney.
Yeah, right. And I think Joel McHale is he playing Chevy Chase?
That's a win.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like, there's ever been a dude who is supposed to be Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Like, that's perfect casting.
Yeah, it's gonna be wild.
What a swarmy prick that guy is.
And who's
on
playing
TV.
Doug Kinney? It's somebody, it's a name.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it is though.
Yeah, because it was sort of like almost like dream casting, really.
Yeah.
What? That's got Todd Phillips' name written all over it. I feel like if they're going to get a big name director, comedy director, I feel like that's the guy to.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's going to be tough because
War Dogs didn't do that great.
Yeah, but it wasn't bad. Like it wasn't The Hangover.
Yeah.
It was just a different type of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm just saying though, like if if they want to make money and
well,
be good.
If we want to talk about directors on the down low, there's, I mean, Todd Phillips is not what he was. Why not give him something?
Yeah,
to
give him
take
the con,
a swing.
Yeah, good point.
Know?
So number three, The Shack. I know Joe was really looking forward to that. Did you get to that this weekend?
I mean, I went to the Burger Shack. Does that count?
Sure, I think that counts.
All right, perfect.
Shack, yeah, I love that place. It's delicious.
It's fantastic.
They have shakes. Yeah, they have cereal shakes.
Now, I'm not a big fan of basketball. Will I be interested in this movie? Or?
I think it's spelled different.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, there's no Q in this one, actually. Believe it or not.
But there is a Shack attack.
So this is like this movie looks to me like The Lake House with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. Like the concept
was
like
The Lake House, the mailbox though.
It was The Mailbox, but I just mean like this guy is like going and seeing things that.
Well, I think his daughter dies.
Yeah,
and then he hits rock bottom, and then somehow.
But he goes to the shack, which is like
well, like he's walking through the wood. He goes to the shack where his daughter was raped and murdered, so he decides to go back to it.
Hmm.
Because that sounds like fun. And then he runs into Octavia Spencer.
I thought this was that all-black Caddyshack reboot.
It is not.
Oh,
okay. Mm.
But then he starts like seeing like he can...
This is Bushwood, sir. I'm very confused about this film.
But it's like he can talk to or see his...
No, he doesn't see her. I think Octavia Spencer plays...
It's basically
God.
Why does good things? Why do bad things happen to good people?
Right.
Okay.
How can there be a God if bad things happen to white people? And
yes.
Then Octavia Spencer shows up and explains it.
Like oh, okay.
It's one of those kind
I'm
of movies.
I'm shocked that's number three.
It's like this close to being a movie that goes around to mega churches in the trunk of
right.
Kirk Cameron's car.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those.
Kirk Cameron, the modern day George Romero.
Well, yeah,
he's the Jesus Romero. He's Jesus Romero.
Jesus Romero.
So I don't have a budget on that one, but 15
and it's
million?
Based on a very popular book.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. It's one of those.
Yeah.
So, all right. Number four, the Lego Batman movie, another $11.3 million, a 41% drop puts that to almost $150 million domestic, another $100 million overseas. So it's at about $250 million on an $80 million budget.
And they've already canceled the Nightwing movie. That's not happening anymore.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
No.
It's
going to
be canceled. Don't worry.
But the thing is that you were more than prepared to believe it. You weren't shocked at all.
No, absolutely. I mean, at this point.
The shock you heard in Kevin's voice was actually that it took this long.
Right. It took more than more than a week for them to
cancel. No, it took 3 weeks. That's really not. But that's the thing is like I was just like I'm excited to I want them to do a Nightwing movie. They've never done one, so like that idea is exciting. And then you realize it's in the Batman v Superman universe, and you're like, ugh. But then again,
I don't want them to do. They're not ready to do a Nightwing.
They're not.
No.
Thank you.
Nightwing needs like Nightwing. You need
the
to
Robin
build.
Story.
You haven't even done Robin yet. You're doing Nightwing.
You've shown
they're all out of sync.
You've like, shown the Robin suit. That's all you've shown, and that's the one that's
dead. So you think that you need a compelling story with Robin and
yes.
see him become Nightwing?
Yes.
So you need an origin story.
I think, no. You know what they need to do is they need to do part of the Batman movie in flashback.
Yeah, I could see that. Where
do it
where
in
you,
flashback.
You know what?
So you can you can basically cover that ground, you know, for those who aren't really in the know and in the universe. And then you can also, like, have... the resolution to some of that.
Here's what I would do.
And introduce Nightwing.
You have your I think that idea is brilliant, but you have a case.
Right.
That is paralleled to a case that Batman and Robin worked.
Yes.
And now something has happened again.
Yes.
Where Batman and Dick Grayson have to work in the future, like in the present time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the story, you know, parallels, then you lead in that flashback,
what happened to them and their relationship?
Lead up to that flashback is leading up to the break.
That's cool.
And
well, maybe they tell
in the
like
middle
that.
Of that, you can cover.
You're giving them too much credit.
And in that, you can cover Jason Todd
if you want.
So obviously, well, that would also lead to like some serious
strife.
Tension between you know Dick and Bruce.
But that's a great
idea.
But
if
you
do
though.
That. Then you can build that character. You can cover a case.
You could say that
he Batman a detective because they seem to forget that part.
Or though, I mean, if they've already got a different idea for that because we don't want to cram that one too full, like Joe said, make the Nightwing movie a flashback to the Robin origin. Do it in Nightwing.
Yeah.
Tell the Robin story in flashback. I think that's a great idea to give the origin.
So now what we need to do is just basically lift this table up and we'll go to Venice Beach with all the bras and we'll just talk there around the meatheads.
Yeah. Does he wear a chain bra?
And then maybe
we'll spread the word
will go viral to Zach's bras. And then those bras
I was surfing and these bras were telling me.
Matt Reeves has creative control. Whatever that means, whatever he's got lined
up. I think he walked away that first time. I think he did too. And they were like, and they heard the backlash because everyone was excited for Matt Reeves.
Did he not do the first Planet of the Apes?
No.
All right.
That was...
No, he would have been like 2 years old. I mean, that's
right.
That's a good point.
Damn you, Dirty Apes. But no, there was such a huge backlash when that people were happy and they took it away or he rejected it. And I think they were like, okay, we would like this series to continue without scrapping it. So Matt Reeves, please come
in. What do you have, please? Like, I want this. I want a dump truck of money.
Yeah.
And I want creative control.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. But I will tell you real quick, going back to the Lego movie. So I interviewed Chris McKay.
This is my favorite part. I love this story.
I interviewed Chris McKay last week, and on ReviewSTL.com, probably by the time you listen to this, it will be up. And the thing is, the guy is an ultra Batman fan. So it's not like, I mean, the guy worked for Robot Chicken, directed those episodes. He was the animation co-director on the Lego movie. He told me he was actually the co-director, but the problem is there were already two directors.
Is that of the Lego movie?
Phil
and Chris Lord.
Chris Miller and Phil Lord.
Yeah.
So he was actually pretty much a third director, but they don't even like two directors, the DGA, I believe. And so they made him the animation co-director, but basically anytime they couldn't do anything, he was in there directing the movie, dealing with stuff. So that's how he got such a high position. Like, you're like, where did Chris McKay come from? But he literally was a third director on Lego.
How long after your interview happened did they announce?
Well, I'll tell you that. Okay. So anyway, but I'm talking to him and I had my list of questions. I talked to the guy for 30 minutes, super nice guy. But one of my questions was, okay, how big of a Batman fan are you? Or are you just a superhero fan in general, whatever? He introduces himself and I say, congratulations on having the number one movie in America 2 weeks in a row. And he gives me a 5-minute answer about how big of a Batman fan he is, going through childhood, how much he loves the characters, going into all these in-depth things about Batman. He's got Batman tattoos. I think he has Superman tattoo as well. But like, you know, I wanted to know.
Don't point at me like we all know each other. Like, yes, I have a Superman tattoo as well.
No, I'm just saying, like, you get that, like, love a franchise. But so the thing is, because I'm like, is this guy just a really competent director and maybe he enjoys superheroes, or is he a Batman fan? And that movie was so packed with references
all
and callbacks
kinds of stuff.
But Chris McKay, the director of the Lego Batman movie, is an extraordinary Batman fan. He knows his stuff. He was referencing things left and right, like he knows his crap. So for him to get a live action movie around these characters that he loves, like, he's not just going to be a competent director that hopefully will do all right with it. Like, he's going to make a movie that does the franchise justice if he can. So
that's the scary part.
But the last two directors of Spider-Man movies were also massive Spider-Man fanboys.
Right. The studio intervention would be
I don't think there was studio intervention with Spider-Man until 3.
No, we're talking about Amazing.
Yeah,
Sam Raimi
and
like the studio
500
guys,
Days of Summer guy were both
Mark Webb.
Huge Spider-Man.
But
fans.
Sam Raimi did a great job with
But it got to 3 and the studio was like, we want
this. That's what I'm saying. That's the studio. Yeah. The funny thing is that, seriously, I get off the phone with Chris McKay, a little less than an hour goes by, and it is announced that he is in negotiations with Warner to direct the Nightwing movie.
That's never been announced,
never been talked about before. I get off the phone with the guy in an hour.
You try to call him back real quick.
I mean, seriously, I could have broken.
Last question.
I guarantee he probably got off the phone with me because he was on a tight schedule. He probably got off the phone to go like talk to Warner about this thing, like hung up with me and called them. I could have broken that story. I talked to the guy. I was the last one to talk to him before it was announced.
He probably peed.
Yeah.
This is why tangents are so dangerous. If you had gone off on a tangent, you could have cost him that movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
He would have missed the phone call.
Yeah. Yikes.
That movie.
Anyway, but
it would have just been like, who's next on our list? Joel Schumacher.
So anyway, but look for that review. Yikes. On Review STL.
He already had 2 cracks at Nightwing.
Yeah. He's the next Blumhouse guy.
Schumacher?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, man.
Hey, I mean, and I have to say, Schumacher, he has.
Tigerland?
Yeah. He made
Phantom of the Opera?
Falling Down.
That's Joel Schumacher?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a good movie.
He made that Phone Booth movie, which is actually an exercise
in
restraint.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell. I'm sorry.
He made the Dead People movie. Julia Roberts. And
were they walking or were
Flatliners. Flatliners, thanks.
Oh, okay.
He directed Flatliners?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man, that's a good movie. Look
at Joel Schumacher made some good movies.
He just...
And then he hit the skids at Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
But he clearly didn't understand the material.
Oh, I think he understood a certain material.
I grew up watching this as a kid. Like, I get it.
I remember sitting in that theater.
He understood. Well, he also directed, I don't know if you remember, Whiny Bitch Boys in L.A.
He did.
Yes.
That was the follow-up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be.
I thought this was a
third Batman
movie. It was,
And then he just kind of had to rework it.
Correct.
He had to give it a massage, a hand release.
If you will.
Yeah. And you will.
I remember sitting there in the theater for Batman and Robin, and as soon as they do the first Dutch tilt, and I was like, oh, God.
You know what?
It's going to be an hour, 2 hours of this crap.
So we were driving around the studio in Universal Studios in L.A. when they were filming Batman and Robin.
Isn't that weird they filmed at Universal Studios?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I know. And so we're driving around on the little tour, and they're like trying to be coy, and they're like, well, we can't tell you what movie is happening, being filmed, but if you look at the cars, you might see a certain Crusader.
Out comes George.
And it's everything says Gotham City and stuff like that.
Wow.
And it's all like supposed to be covered in ice.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like crap.
Yeah, of course
it does.
We're
all looking at it.
You saw the skating rink?
The stuff that's supposed to be icicles are just kind of flapping around. They look like they're made out of, you know, saran wrap.
Yeah.
Everything looks like crap. And we're all like, man, this is crap. This looks terrible.
The budget went to Joel Schumacher's blow.
My brother-in-law and I were both like, magic of the movies, you know?
Right.
And then we saw the movie and we're like, oh, my God, it looks exactly how it is. It looks terrible. That's what we do. We're just like,
It's so weird because that Batman Forever wasn't bad. I liked Batman Forever.
It wasn't as bad as Batman and Robin.
It's that next step.
It's cemented in its day.
Yeah.
I think Val Kilmer is one of the best Batman.
Batman or Bruce Wayne?
Batman.
Like as it is all.
No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Bruce Wayne. I think Michael Keaton is the best Batman.
Ooh, I mean, on like live action Batman?
Yeah.
Or Batman in general?
No, live action.
Oh, okay.
I think Kevin
Conroy is the best Batman.
Yeah, no, I think Keaton was fantastic. I mean, I don't care if they had to put a prosthetic on him or whatever, but like he kind of, I just think he had it down.
He's the only actor that was able to do Bruce and the Batman.
It's his Bruce
that
threw
people
off. And make
them completely different.
Yeah, I thought his Batman's excellent, but I think Val Kilmer had a great Bruce Wayne.
He did have a very good Bruce. Well, I think Val Kilmer had a better Batman. I think George Clooney had a better Bruce Wayne.
I think Clooney was probably positioned to be the best Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, George Clooney is Bruce Wayne.
There's no other actor in Hollywood to be the best Bruce Wayne.
Affleck. I feel like Affleck also is Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. I like Affleck's Batman because he's intimidating. He's huge. I don't think his Bruce Wayne is that convincing.
His neck's so big he can't turn his head.
But, I mean, the Batman is freaking menacing in a dark light.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, like, Affleck... George Clooney in 1997 was Bruce Wayne.
Right.
He was living the life.
He was. Like, if it were a good movie, that could have been.
If you would have told me
the only difference was he didn't fight crime.
Right. If you would have told me that George Clooney was Batman, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
Everybody
that makes sense.
Yeah, and everybody did. And then they saw the movie. They were like this is so terrible.
I got to look at George Clooney's butt.
Real quick before we move on, another quick tangent because you mentioned Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
So I talked to him a couple weeks ago and just really funny. He never had read a Batman comic book. He didn't know anything about Batman when he auditioned for the role in 91. He trained at Juilliard and was a theater actor. Just went to the audition as a side job. And they said, what do you know about Batman? And he goes, really, I don't know much. I mean, I know the 66 show with Adam West. And they go, no. Like, it was just funny the way he told the story because that's all he knew was the Adam West show. He never had read anything about Batman. And the producers like
Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, and Andrea Romano.
So, yeah, he's like the way he told, they're like, no, erase that. Forget everything, you know, because he came in kind of thinking that's Batman.
Yeah,
right?
I think he said there was an old... The guy who did the radio voice for Superman, the radio serials, he was the first guy to do the inflections differently. So, like, when he was Clark Kent, he had a higher inflection on his voice.
Interesting.
So when he turned to Superman, he had a lower inflection.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Conroy copied that.
Yeah, because he's the first one to ever do it.
When he would
Batman.
Do Bruce Wayne, he'd have a higher... If you listen to it, he has a higher octave, and then he goes into the Batman voice when he's wearing the cowl or he's around other superheroes.
He's the best, no doubt.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Lego Batman movie, $250 million on an $80 million budget and still going strong. Number 4 in its fourth week in release. Number 5, John Wick Chapter 2, $4.7 million. So that's a 49% drop in week four. It has made $82 million, though, so not too shabby there, and another $50 million overseas. So it's about $130 million worldwide. Don't have a budget on that, but that's pretty modest. It's probably like a $40 million, I would just guess.
Yeah, probably.
Number six, Before I Fall. So that's the other new movie. I've heard this described as Groundhog Day meets Mean Girls. Did anyone see
that? Oh, this is that movie. I saw a trailer for this with something, and I was like, this looks like Groundhog Day.
It's supposed to be Groundhog. Everyone's saying Groundhog Day versus Mean Girls because it's about a high school clique of mean girls, and this girl has to live her day over and over again. There's a review up on Review STL by Brad. He's a new writer for the site. And so he said it was okay, but, I mean, it's not as good as Groundhog Day, and it's not as good as Mean Girls. So
those are two awesome movies to,
right, that's what I mean, like, so people are saying that's the closest thing, but if you're expecting, like, when you combine those things to have one awesome product, like, it can't hold up to that. But Before I Fall came in with $4.5 million opening weekend. I don't have a budget, and there's nothing worldwide, so I don't know how much it may cost to make it, but not too great of an opening there.
Yikes.
Number seven, though, talk about a movie that's still making money. Hidden Figures, $3.7 million, a 36% drop, $158 million domestic. So they're still making a ton of money. That only had a $25 million budget, and they made $31 million overseas alone.
How many times did you practice that?
Well, I know how to say it now.
Thank God Josh Brolin wasn't in that movie.
I mean, do you have any doubt how to say that word properly?
I feel like Kevin took off last week. He's like, look, I'm going to get it right.
You got
I'm going to practice
with
it
a speech
for seven.
Therapist.
I went overseas. The people that Dr. Strange saw to heal him, they helped me out with it.
They figured out how to fix your palate.
The ancient one was like, figures, figures. And it was weird because their enunciation for English was superb. It's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't think it was odd that you were going to Asia to try to learn how to pronounce
Kevin's
English
like, this is too
better.
Hard. I'm not
That's
doing
how bad.
It.
So I go back in a couple weeks for Brolin.
Oh, good.
So we'll
good.
See how that
good
how
luck.
That works
of course,
out. Thank
in,
you.
That means in Logan, all we're going to hear about is his craws.
Man. Oh, man. Well, see, wow. I didn't say that.
That's true, yeah.
No, you're can, we get hook, a, can we get a Hong Kong Fu impersonation? So, anyway, that movie is doing quite well.
Are you in Slipknot?
Yeah.
Yeah, or, no, not Slipknot. No.
System of a Down.
There it goes.
Yeah. I did listen to Chop Suey on the way here.
Jump, pogo, pogo. Then number eight, though, talk about a movie not doing too well, asterisk, in America. Uh-oh. The Great Wall, Matt Damon's Chinese ponytail movie, $3.6 million.
Still not doing well enough overseas. They said they expect to lose $70 million.
Wow.
In this movie.
Wow. $3.6 million, a 61% drop in week three, $41 million domestic. So, I mean, an absolute flop over here. $269 million overseas, so it's over $300 million on a $150 budget. So with marketing and everything, I mean, yeah, that's going to about break even just with marketing. So yeah, that's not very good.
No,
that's not
it's
very
also
good.
Also, the movie's not very good.
Well, the movie's awful, and we all knew it going into it. We talked about it. Go listen to the episode if you want to have some fun
it's
with
a great
it.
Great episode.
Great episode because it's a terrible movie, and I don't know what they were thinking with that.
Oh, here's my check, thank you.
Yeah, that's what he was thinking for sure. But I love that Jimmy Kimmel made fun of Matt Damon at the Oscars about it, that, you know, he's like, oh, he produced Manchester by the Sea, he could have starred in it, but decided to go make a Chinese ponytail movie.
I think that whole Oscar thing was a setup. There's no way.
They would never
there's,
do that.
No.
There's
I think
actually,
Kimmel could absolutely do that.
No. They had more planned, but then the whole thing at the end.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh.
There's no way. Yeah. There's people. I mean, the accounting firm has worked with the Oscars since it started. And, like, they have a lot on the line. Like,
they would never
do
sign
they, off. Do they can both those people?
They're not allowed to come back to the Oscars.
They're not allowed anywhere near the Oscars.
I think it's unfair because I think it's more of the guy than the girl.
It's the guy. Yeah, it sucks. She's getting kicked out, but she didn't follow the protocol.
Yeah, dude, that look
but
on Warren Beatty's
job,
face.
Man. They had one job.
You know what sucks though is Warren Beatty. He's an older guy.
He caught some crap for no reason.
But that sucks, but he could have figured it out because he saw
at the damn
all
thing.
He had to do was look at it, and he handed it to.
Have you seen the design, the graphic design on those cards?
Yeah,
no,
they're very bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that it says like. The picture, like the card, is like about the size of a postcard. Yeah. It says the name of the picture real big, and then in the bottom in like 10-point font.
Yes. Said Emma Stone.
It says best actress. Yes. In like a grayscale on a white
wall.
So it's
bad.
Like, so the category is like super minimized.
So you got also an old dude.
Yeah.
It just sucks though, because he
you
caught
see
it.
The, you can see the look on Faye Dunaway's face where she's like, read it. And he was just like, I don't,
but see,
I don't
yeah,
think
I know,
this is right.
But it
he
sucks
like, read it, read it.
If he could have just,
he kind of said, hey, look at that bus.
Yeah.
Underneath you go.
Yeah, it was a mess for sure.
What
but,
I just can't
believe.
It was
believe, the craziest end to
I cannot
to,
believe that happened.
I can't either. In the whole history, nothing like that
there's
has ever
a,
happened.
There's a dude on Facebook called like Ozzy Man Reviews.
Sure, he has great reviews.
Oh my God. He does some hilarious, and he does a whole bit. Yeah. On the thing, and he's just like, you can see it. You can see it happening. And like Warren Beatty's like, I don't know what
to
do.
This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, right. And then they tried to blame Emma Stone, where she was like, yeah. I had
no,
it.
No, she just didn't
She's
know.
She's like, I had it in my hand.
She didn't know because she did. And most people don't know there's two copies.
There's two sets of cards.
So she literally was just like, I had it. She's like, I'm not trying to start trouble, but I had it in
my
hand.
She was like, she there's no way that's my card because I have my card.
And then
they were like, well, no, there are two sets of cards.
Okay.
In case something happens to the first.
Man, Steve Harvey was like, way to go, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks.
You know that entire sit, like the guy with the headset who had to actually run out on stage
my God.
Is like,
the guy you're never supposed to see on TV ever.
The only saving grace was the producers of La La Land were so gracious about it. Like the way they handled
it. What could they have done?
Well, I mean, you could be real jerks about it. And
it's mine.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But
like,
it's not.
They're
like Daffy Duck. Mine, all mine.
But it was the producer of La La Land that was like, no, this is wrong. They come up here. They won. Like, they were really nice about it.
It's business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want to burn some bridges that, you know, guys you may work with later.
Probably, you know, at some point,
you're going
to
work
with each other.
At
some point, it's business.
Right.
Absolutely. Number 9, 50 Shades Darker in week 4. 3.5 million is a 55% drop. It's up to $109 million. Stop doing that, people. And $224 million overseas.
I guess you're going to get your sequel.
What on earth? $330 million worldwide on a $55 million budget. How?
Well,
why are people seeing this?
This is the same thing where, like, with Batman vs. Superman, where they're like, it was massive.
Okay.
It was massive. Yeah. And it's like, well, I mean, okay.
I get it. When you have Batman and Superman for, you know, 75 years and the most popular, you know, and comic books are big, fine, whatever. And it translates. 50 Shades Darker, really, that many people in overseas are going to see the movie?
Maybe they're super repressed.
Well, I don't know how the books did overseas, but I mean, it is, for some people, this is their comic book.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
Goodness. So anyway, yeah, making a ton of money. So I guess we will get the next one in theaters. And rounding out the top 10, Joe, shut your dirty mouth. La La Land, $3.1 million, 34% drop, $145 million domestic.
Wait. How come I'm the only one getting crap for that? Dan made up the name.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you've continued it online like every day.
That's true.
So, they've got $371 million worldwide, more than you have, Joe. So
that's also true.
But amazing the success of it, though. 143 domestic, 228 foreign. $371 million on a $30 million budget. I mean, that's like almost Blumhouse territory.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
$30 million budget. You've got this kid that won Best Director, the youngest in history.
Blumhouse is like, I could have made it for 4.5.
Right. Of course he could. But yeah, I mean, the director, Damien Chazelle, is like 32, 33 years old.
That's impressive.
So, I mean, the kid made this $30 million movie and he loves musicals and damn, look at that gross. You can't argue with those numbers.
Nope.
And the Oscars. So anyway, but that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Before we segue out of numbers, I would just like to point out, expanding to 1,500 screens, but not in our box office report, Moonlight?
Yeah, so it came out on Blu-ray on Tuesday, and then Friday they tripled their screens.
So they put it like, back out in the theaters?
I guess, and it's not anywhere on the charts.
But isn't that weird, though, that you could go and buy the movie for $20 and own it forever?
I don't think a lot of people know that you can, though.
Yeah.
Well, they did do a big push, like, Oscar winner this Tuesday, like, but you're right, there might not be some. But still, you could buy the movie for $20 and own it, or you could buy $10 tickets and concessions
and
see it once.
Some people want to see it on the big screen, though.
Yeah.
But Moonlight isn't
okay, but so you have to get,
no, I agree.
First of all, you have to pay for people to see the
the commercials saying it's coming out on Blu-ray. Yeah. They don't see them, and that's expensive. Media buys are expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second, you could maybe do displays, but they probably didn't think ahead to build like freestanding displays for in store.
Oh, it's probably
so
true.
So most likely, the only place you're going to see it is if they happen to walk by the Blu-ray section, and it's you know, new releases, and you know it's pretty fallow out there as far as
reach. Like, I know it's a weird comparison, but they threw This Is the End back out there after it came out on Blu-ray to push it over
the
100 million mark. Yeah.
But so, I mean, it's one of those things. It's just like, I think
but it wasn't the week of Blu-ray.
A lot of people don't know that they can't.
And with digital distribution, that's the great thing, is that you can literally increase three times the theaters like they did, and it's a button click.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do marketing or anything. And like, if they see it, great. They've got an auditorium. If not, whatever.
Well, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And that's it. Yeah, because of the X number of weeks of being in release, that the theaters are basically like, man, that's popcorn money.
That's popcorn.
Yeah,
whatever. That's totally true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, G-R-A-N-E-Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you'd like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Logan, which is hard because, as Kevin tells you, he's got crossed.
He's snicked.
So there you go. So until next time, you've been warned.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.